shuffle.
Kill, kill, kill.
Kill, kill, kill.
Kill shuffle. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another quarantine edition of Kill Shuffle.
These aren't going to end.
I know. I'm Donald.
I'm Dylan.
And yes, yeah. You're right. I should nearly, there's no point even referring to it anymore. It's like, well, obviously, it's a quarantine edition.
I've seen other podcasts with trying to hold a conventional name for pandemic-related titles. And like, you get past three, and it's like... Alliteration kind of loses it. Like,
I know. We were already pushing our luck with Quarantine FM, and it's just gone into... Now, there's no point. This is the regular show as far as everybody is concerned. So.
Yeah.
But no live music to talk about.
Actually.
Oh, yes, go ahead. There is. Fire ahead. Sure.
So, Porter Robinson had a festival. A really fucking good festival. Impressively so. Not your everyday kind of camera in the living room affair. I think one of the highlights he had was Anna Managuchi on, like the whole band playing, and they had kind of a visual front layer effect on their screen as they all played live to the songs, like of all their videos and crazy weeby shit. And yeah, they had tons of featured artists like just pop in the middle of it, and Hannah appeared for that song. She just appeared in the middle of them all in her own live stream screen and that kind of stuff. And
amazing.
Porter Robinson did a DJ kind of set with kind of a projected effect on him, and even though it was just him doing the DJ stuff, it's Porter Robinson. He's a machine.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'll have to watch that back. I had heard about that festival, but I didn't take note of
Secret
the date.
Skies, I think it's all called. Right.
But yeah. How? So were they each beaming in from separate locations?
I think. I know it was live streamed, as in they came sequentially after another.
Mm.
But I'm not sure if some of them were pre-recorded live or
because I think it's
very much live.
I understand that, and there was a Post Malone Nirvana set which was quite good that appeared to be live streamed because he was referring to things that were happening in real time. But I couldn't figure out if Travis Barker was and the bass player were in the room with him, because the logistics with the latency that's inherent in any kind of digital communication, it makes playing music live next to impossible. Now, I'd imagine if you have Post Malone money, maybe there's some kind of private server relay that you could set up where the latency is low enough that it might be possible if you had like crazy good internet. But
yeah.
But I just don't know. I'm really curious because obviously working in the art space, live streaming versus pre-recorded versus live broadcasting, those are all questions that we're kind of reckoning with at the moment. So
yeah, some of them worked well. I mean, yeah. I saw Light as well play. They actually played live in their own rooms,
right,
answering questions and all from the chat. So they pulled that off that way. But I can understand just kind of pre-recording it live, but just giving a set out there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think, or even everybody pre-recording their own parts to a click, because the whole issue is that you can't hear
who
you're playing with. Pup, for example, you remember the band Pup? They posted some footage of an attempt at a rehearsal via video conferencing, and it was such a shit show. They were all yelling at each other, "Listen to the drummer! No, you're not listening to me! You're behind me!" Because it's impossible. You got this sometimes, it could be 300-400 millisecond latency, and it's tough. But it will be figured out. Clearly, some people have already figured it out, which is great. And the live streaming space is getting more sophisticated by the week. I know there was another festival. Was it this weekend that had, you know, some of the kind of alternative rock bands from Britain, like Don Broco and maybe Dinosaur Pileup and stuff.
I think I saw that.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. But
it's clever.
It's good to see. Yeah, absolutely.
Soon we'll get like drive-through gigs, drive-in theater gigs. That would be something.
At this point, I'll take it.
Yeah. If MCR at the Kameenam Hospital next year is to be a drive-in gig, I'll sacrifice that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take one for the team.
Oh my word! I the economics of scale. I'm not sure it works when everybody's in their cars, but that's a story for another day. And
yeah.
We're going to, on this week on the show, we're going to be talking about new albums from Hayley Williams, Gold Key, City of Souls, and Gleamer. So a really interesting mix, I think, of kind of side projects, solo projects, bands that rose out of other bands, and solo projects that became band projects. And it's a very interesting week, I think. And I think the talking point of the week is probably Pedals for Armor by Hayley Williams. So maybe that would be a good place to start.
Twit.
All right. This is the first solo release from Hayley Williams, singer of Paramore, since, I guess, you know, which is interesting considering she's had, you know, she had guest spots and little sort of featured appearances. But this, you know, since the inception of Paramore way back in 2003 when she was, Jesus, what, 14, 15? This is her first, her first totally solo outing.
I mean, they started when they were like 11-ish, covering stuff.
Yeah, it began, the inception of Hayley Williams is interesting. I believe, I don't know exactly when she started playing with the other guys in Paramore, but she was quote unquote discovered by two music agents who wanted to sign her, I think, directly up to Universal and go kind of the pop music route with her, and she pushed back against that. Hayley Williams has, you know, very good taste in music. She loves like American Football and Failure and what's the other band, Me Without You. So you know, she sort of said, no, I actually want to play the music I want to play with my band. So I don't know how long she'd been with the band at that point, but they said, cool, no problem, you can just go do your thing with Fueled by Ramen.
Yeah.
Go do your band thing and we'll see how it works out. And of course, like, the rest is history. It did work out really, really well. And that kind of flash forward many lineup changes and, you know, hiatuses and changes in sound later, we arrive at, you know, Pedals for Armor, which at this point has been released as a series of three EPs.
Yeah, I think the last EP was kind of just kind of thrown out within a week.
Yeah.
Leading up in clips. It was like, okay, you're going to get it.
I know, it's a little bit, it's sort of like the failure effect. Well, there's no point in having any kind of delay between the final piece of an album and the sort of full album, because everybody already has all the component parts at that point. And it is interesting that Hayley Williams, being a big Failure fan and having worked with Ken Andrews previously on their self-titled Paramore record, to release an album in the same bitty chunks as In the Future, Your Body Will Be the First Thing From Your Mind.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about doing that kind of thing, which was like five songs, but I wouldn't even tease the last part. I would totally like leave it as a, you'll expect it when you expect it and then it'll be out kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a huge amount to say about the release schedule. I just thought it was an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there was any sinister motive behind it. And I don't either think that it was a particularly wise decision, because lead singles, you know, pre-release singles kind of do a similar job to what these EPs have done. I guess what it does lead to is a longer album than most. This album clocks in close to an hour. And yeah, I mean, that's all I have to say really about that. In terms of the actual music, it may be Hayley Williams' first solo effort, but there's plenty, like, the fingerprints of Paramore are all over this record, in terms of produced by Taylor York, who was a touring member of Paramore for years and years and years, and has been a full-time member for I think the last two records. Most of the bass tracks laid down by Paramore touring bassist Joey, second name not written down. their touring bassist has recorded many of these bass lines, and I believe Zach Farrow also contributed drums. Joey Howard is the guy's name, but so there's I think there's other members of the Paramore family, I guess, that did contribute this album too.
That is handy, and it's nice to have a family that can give your give life to a concept that is yours, with support, and not overbearing support. You know, like, give it the voice you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what it does signal is a that there is still a very much a unified core there. This isn't a breakaway from the day job as such. This isn't a statement of I'm putting Paramore behind me and moving on forward with the rest of my life, because obviously, you know, she's still on fantastic terms with all these people, and I believe there's talk in the you know, there's talk that there will be another Paramore album relatively soon.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's enough background, I guess. What do you make of the music?
I think it's a great direction. It's very much exploring all the different things you can, that Paramore can't totally get away with without having to not be called Paramore anymore, let's say. I will say that musically, lyrically, I think it's in key with some of the themes of Hard Times, but more an introspective sense than a general sense. Of Hard Times. This is more her Hard Times. I think vocally and melodically, how she projects, or rather how she doesn't project and use her contained vocals, the kind that she never used in old Paramore, I think that remains, that is now pretty distinct from what you would expect. Bar a few songs, a couple songs maybe have her belting out, but some of them can go as low as like Tom York register to just a lot of the whisperchore dream pop, the 80s vocalists of yore. She's following a good template set by them and Bjork as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's a varied vocal performance, and you're right, there's definitely a lot of channeling of 80s pop divas on certain songs. Janet Jackson, Diana Ross, Madonna, kind of you name it, Cyndi Lauper. Those portions come and go, and there is plenty of that here. What maybe you could think of as a natural progression from After Laughter, which did also feature plenty of big, hooky 80s pop worship. But I think the overriding sound on this album, and it forms the bedrock of nearly every song, is it's a sound that I actually didn't expect to hear again, maybe ever, but certainly not so soon. It's that kind of electronic flecked minimalist indie from sort of 2009 to 2012, 13, roughly, talking about bands like London Grammar, Alt J, The XX, Haim, The Antlers, Wild Beasts, even like Wolf Alice in their earlier moments.
Or even to go back, it's a bit more like a combination of TLC meets Red Hot Chili Peppers circa By the Way. It's got that bass. It's got the bass kind of groove.
Yeah, there's a lot of that bass.
Lo-fi-ness expect from that.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, definitely in points, but I do think that, or even like little bits of early Everything. Kid A era Radiohead. But it's a really, the bedrock of this album is sparse electronics and dense bass work. And that sound I've always found a little bit hard to get along with. There are certain artists and certain songs that I absolutely love in that scene, but overall, I often found it a little bit dull. And I have to say, especially over the course of an hour, while there are plenty of highlights on this album, and we'll discuss them in more detail, I do feel like a lot of the verses start to blend together in terms of it's Hayley up front and center doing something pretty low key. There's some fun bass chords and bass work going on, and then like very skittering minimalist drums. And I don't think it's been described as a pop album, and there are pop elements, but I definitely think this more sits into that, what you would call maybe just pure alternative, or maybe
art pop.
Alternative art, yeah, like art pop, yeah, baroque, yeah. Not baroque pop, but yeah, art pop is probably a good way to describe it. It's, you know, when it works, and when she really commits full force to either
experimentalism.
Yeah, exactly. To either going for that sound full pelt, like she does on Roses, Lotus, Violets, Iris, I think it really works. And she's, you know, she has such a powerful command of melody. There's the strings that kind of swell up in the second half of the song. Beautiful. Really, really good. I love that song. And then maybe on to take the totally the other side, Sugar on the Rim is like full New Order fashion by Gaga. Flight of the Conchords, you know, style, look. It definitely,
I think,
has
it's very
that.
Lady Gaga.
It's very it's very Gaga, yeah. But it's also very kind of La Galaxy workout video, you know.
yeah, and it, so it's Over Yet, right? It's
Over Yet, yeah, but Over Yet is where I think she tries to maybe square the circle a little bit and sort of holds back in the verse. It goes heavy on the chorus, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, at least
she uploaded herself, doing a dance routine to that song, totally fits that kind of.
No, it's yeah,
feel.
No, that like that would be another Over Yet, be another highlight for me.
Yeah,
even though I really like Dead Horse, it
not,
I just feel like it doesn't quite. It's like these two sort of totally disparate elements that are kind of mashed together.
Yeah, it's disparate.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. It seemed like. Not quite in the vein of a lot of the stuff that even Creepin' had or songs around it. Like, for me, I think it dips a little bit with Sudden Desire and Dead Horse. That's kind of that little dip. I can piece out the dips.
I like Sudden Desire. I do think it captures something about that kind of nervous crackle of energy around a new romance or something. I quite like that.
Lyrically it's fine, it's great, like it's super evocative of just the anxious moments regarding those first time things.
And she really, and I can't decide, I think I've decided I like it. There's a note in Sudden Desire, you know, a sudden desire, but like two octaves up, like she absolutely
She
pushes right up to the edge of a range on a song.
I don't know if
isn't,
that totally fits.
Yeah,
that song though.
I think I like it, but it is weird to hear, at certain points, songs that, largely speaking, are quite low energy. Not always in a bad way, but you know, these are sultry kind of laid back songs. To hear her absolutely belt. Like she's never belted before on tracks like Pure Love or Sudden Desire is maybe slightly jarring. But Watch Me While I Bloom, that's got that little bit of early Foals sound to it. It's super funky. Mm-hmm. I like it. I think Crystal Clear has a bit of the mystery that After Laughter injected into the 80s worship.
I really enjoyed that. It's not quite Minor Modal. It's just kind of... It's very chill, but it is up-tempo, you know?
Yeah.
There is a sense of up-temponess to it.
In the same way that maybe Pool did from After Laughter, it definitely, its palette and it's what the influence it's drawing from are that kind of Dayglow 80s pop sound, but there's something maybe slightly wrong with this picture, and I really enjoy when she does that kind of thing. But yeah, what are the winners? What are the real winners for you?
I think the first EP gets me totally going. It is really a showcase of all this has got, all the weirdness, all the Talking Heads pastiches you might want to throw at it, like Cinnamon and stuff. Though I think it goes beyond that. I think it's really daring and odd and a little off-putting, which I like.
I think she
can do off-putting well. Like the harmonies and Cinnamon are just odd.
Yeah, your mileage will vary with those ad-libbing vocoder bits. That ooh, ooh, wah.
Yeah,
that bit, yeah.
It's like a weird octave.
Wah, 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 wah.
I think it makes it very unique.
It certainly does. And I think that's a great point, because a lot of this album, unique is maybe, unique, sure. I admire much of this, maybe more so than I like it. Here's where I sort of sit on this record. I was, you know, listening to it during the week, as I do with these albums that we go to review, sort of thinking, I was really getting into it, kind of going, yeah, this is great, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised. And then yesterday and the day before, I kind of started with After Laughter and then did a real deep dive on Paramore, because Paramore are a band that I have a lot of fondness for, but maybe I don't necessarily listen to a huge amount. I think that listening session maybe slightly did Pedals for Armor in as far as this review, because, man, they really has had and have something really special, I think, Paramore do.
Like, oh, yeah, and this is not that.
No, and this is not...
No, as in it doesn't need to be. You're saying it like you wanted it to be.
No,
because you went back.
I wouldn't be saying that, Dil, if this was different enough. But the problem for me is that this really sounds like what I would maybe have been slightly fearful might come after Laughter. I thought After Laughter was a triumph, but maybe it was right at the edge of something that I didn't want it to tip over into, which I do feel like this at times does tip over into. I don't think the poppy, dancey bits on this are different enough from what they were exploring on the self-titled and like on tracks like Still Into You or whatever and After Laughter. For me not to draw the comparison, if this was like a huge EDM album, or if this was like a acoustic, do you know what I mean? Yeah. If it was different enough, I wouldn't draw the comparison. But I do think a lot of this sounds like a natural progression.
Well, I would say those dancey elements are not Paramore inspired dancey elements. They're from elsewhere this time, right? I could really distinction.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like there are bits that would never have fit into Paramore in any guise, be it their early sort of emo flecked pop punk sound, or much closer their later 80s kind of pop and rock inspired sound.
So the highlight for me, I didn't answer that question. The highlight for me at the peak is a hat trick. It's Rose as Low as Violet Iris, Why We Ever, and Pure Love. Those three in a row. Totally hypnotic bliss, very emotional in a somber way. I love that because as I said, Chili Peppers would, by the way, is one of my favorite because of kind of the porcelain songs and stuff like that. I love that lo-fi vibe, and she kind of captured an element of that.
Yeah,
a lot of artists in the early 2000s used to do.
Why We Ever too? It does kind of remind me of the power ballads on Boombox Eternal by Sam Sparrow.
And it doesn't have your conventional structure.
No,
you know, like halfway through the song, it just goes to something else and washes away with that something else for the next 2.5 minutes.
So it's a
song of two halves, and it doesn't take away from the first half at all.
Yeah, that's the first half to me is kind of, which is, this is not going to really mean anything to a lot of our listeners, but Soda Sure. Blonde, formerly Little Green Cars, have a sound that is very similar to the first half of Why We Ever, but I think they maybe do it slightly better. And they have an EP coming out, that's just come out, which I'm really excited to check out. I love Soda Blonde. But that second half, I think, totally saves it for me. And she has a gorgeous grasp of chords, jazz chords on the piano, and that second half of that song, Why We Ever,
she's
is just
a great pianist.
Really lovely. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Pure Love, especially, like some of that Moog is unbelievable. Like I saw her do it live on her Instagram with the bassist guy, and
yeah.
Oh, it's genius. I thought it's like a great combination of synths.
Yeah. The one song, the hat trick for me would probably be the last three tracks. I think, you know, Sugar on the Rim, like I said, it's got that Blue Monday feel. Watch You While I Bloom, super funky, Crystal Clear, we've discussed. Yeah. It's cool. I like those last three tracks a lot.
For me, it's kind of the last EP and the first EP are the ones that I really enjoyed. Right?
Yeah. The last one. The first one. First impressions
Simmer,
were good.
Simmer
but it's,
is a lasting one. It's got a good an ominous drive to it that not a lot of people can capture these days.
It's cool.
Maybe kind of TV on the radio meets Radiohead. Yeah, it's got an ominous vibe. Yeah. They do.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you Simmer. I don't really get down with the
creeping.
I kind of feel like
Creepin's got it's got a nice kind of like stepstone-y vocal to it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
nice
no, no.
jump to it.
It's cool. I just it's the vocal effects on that track and Cinnamon that I can't really get down with. It's fine.
It's okay.
But I'll tell you, just because I you know
for them.
Just to give my I think my last place medal, the Wooden Spoon. I think has to go to Taken. I don't think that should be on the album at all. It is. It's really kooky and jaunty, and the whole thing comes off like a really bad Wii music homage. It sounds like maybe like an off-brand Wii channel.
See, that's the thing. I can't remember how that song
just
goes,
that
so maybe
if
that's
anybody
good...
asking, I'm taking. If anybody
oh,
asking,
yeah, yeah.
He is too...
I don't know if the intent hit me with that.
That one doesn't scan for me.
Is this album too horny? I don't care. it is clearly.
It's pretty horny.
it's starved of something.
Is there any
but I
is
think
there
that
any such thing as
it.
Too horny?
Well,
but yeah.
I think sexy is a new thing for Paramore to kind of like that sound to transform into. Like I like that half of her mind. It keeps it a little fresh, you know.
Okay, well, I've been getting the sense that this, generally speaking, maybe has a bit more of a lasting impact for you.
You may be wrong.
I may be right.
I think there are a lot of dips that kind of I've skipped over now that I'm 10 listens in, 15 listens in. But at the start, it really surprised me, and that's still a good sign. I'd reserve certain things to endless surprises, like things I can get endless content out of. And
yeah,
there are a lot of parts in this like I that will stay with me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm just in my head. I'm just doing my director's cut. I'd only cut three tracks.
Same.
To kind of shave it down to maybe a tight sort of 40-45 minutes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
All right. Well, give us your favorite track and a score out of 10.
I think it would be Pure Love.
Okay.
You know why I like it. It's evocative of the funk, the modern Chromeo funk we love.
Yeah,
it's
I hear
totally
that.
Totally that.
Yeah, I hear that for sure. All right. Go ahead. Yeah, you give a score.
At first, this was a 10. First go around.
Mm-hmm.
Because it totally took me by surprise.
Mm.
And I didn't listen to the EPs when they came out. I listened to maybe Simmer and Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Nothing else. So that maybe worked for me a bit more as a first arrival.
Yep.
I'm giving this a pretty good 8. A really good 8.
Okay, all right.
Like, it's still fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah, no, man, an 8's an 8, it is an 8. Like, that's a good score. I think... See, here's the thing. I hate to do this, because I know it's not really fair on the artists, but, you know, we're all human beings, and this is how our brains work. So many. I would say there are like maybe 30. It could be as many as 30 Paramore songs that I don't just like, that I fucking love. Like, actually,
right?
Like, punch my serotonin receptors like Rocky punches hanging slabs of meat, right? And there
and
is
you,
nothing
you're
on this album.
For the Rocky punch. You're starved for the Rocky punch, right?
I'm starved for the Rocky punch in most instances on this album, and that sucks because I really, really want it to be. And sort of at the cerebellum level, I think this is really good. At the serotonin level, I think this is fine. So I'm gonna give my favorite track to Roses, Lotus, Violet, Iris, and I'm gonna give it a 6.
Nice. I do disagree with that, though.
That's
I think that's on your bias. And let's say if I was painting a house like I was this week, which I was,
take a journey with me.
I wouldn't listen to freaking Brand New Eyes to paint to. I would go to this.
Yeah,
to really kind of linger on a musical vibe.
I wouldn't reach for anything
maybe
in the Hayley Williams universe. Yeah, I think After Laughter is I had After Laughter on doing the washing up the other night. I had a lovely time. It's a great balance. This is fine. So, it harkens back to a sound that I always found a little bit tricky to get along with. I've liked certain things that sound like this, and I have disliked certain things that sound like this. And, you know, like Wild Beasts, what's the album called now? It escapes me, but their second album or their third album. One of my favorite albums ever, yeah. And it's a very similar sound to this. But then by the same token, nothing by some of these bands has done it for me. So it's a valiant effort, and I would give it a 3 glowing stars out of 5, but that's as far as I can go.
That's fair. I mean,
all right.
Like you can, if for curiosity's sake, you can see in her Spotify, she's uploaded a playlist of inspirations to this album, and
oh no way.
Like, yeah, there's like Solange, Radiohead, James Blake, Charlotte, Bjork. Basically what we were calling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's the name of the playlist?
It's just, you'll see it there. It's a lotus icon and a...
Oh, and a praying hands.
Yeah, yeah, it's there.
Yeah, see, certain... that this is a great mix of stuff that does absolutely nothing for me and stuff that I like.
Which, yeah, but on the other playlist, she has like stuff like... And You'll Know Us by the Trail of Dead and Failure Kent and Hum. Fucking Hum.
Oh, man, Hum. Oh,
so that's
God.
Like, I guess, the Paramore album.
Yeah.
It's from Zach, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2002 as well. Oh my God, Sparta's on there. The fact that Hayley Williams, I mean, Sparta's a big band. It makes sense that she would have heard
them.
Listen
to this. You can see it plain as day. It's a dichotomy, and this album is the other half of her musical brain.
Yeah, I mean, God, if you put those... That's so funny, man. I love that you've pointed me in the direction of these playlists, because one of those playlists I cannot wait to dive into. If there's any band that I don't recognize on that playlist, I'm like, I have to like them based on the other artists. And then the Pels for Arbor one, I'm like... Ooh, like I'd have a hard time being at a party if that was on. But anyway, that's enough about Petals for Armor by Hayley Williams. A glowing review from Dylan and a slightly tempered but still very positive review for me. Yeah, so that's that. Let's move swiftly along to a band that I think we're both quite fond of, a band that we've featured on the show before, and a band with an eagerly anticipated second record. The band is called Gold Key, and the album is called Panic Machine.
Mm-hmm. Truly what it is right now, right?
Yeah, man. Talk about an appropriate title for the times.
I think it's because this album was recorded privately in quarantine. Like, they went to a studio in quarantine to record this and pull it off. I'm pretty sure they went off into Scotland or Wales to do it.
I think, I'm so sorry. I thought you meant like this was recorded during the coronavirus pandemic, because it was definitely recorded prior to that. But yes, it was probably recorded in isolation. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, apologies. Yeah, that makes sense.
Pretty recently anyway, but...
Yeah. Well, you see, the reason I sort of push back a little is because Mechanical World, the first single, came out 2 years ago. You know, so it has been worked on. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Steve Sears, the singer, is also a producer of... some note, and I hadn't quite copped this when we reviewed the first album, but yeah, he has a very glowing CV, totally outside of being a member of Gold Key. You know, like, for example, he's worked with Gallows, he's worked with Rolla Tomassi, he's worked with Jaws, he's worked with Palm Reader, Iron Sheik, the list goes on. So he's quite a well sought after producer, and that explains maybe how they can afford to have slightly more protracted recording period and really take the time to get everything exactly right and in its proper place. And he's got such a great voice too, right off the bat. Like, what a unique and wonderful voice that Steve Sears has.
I would say it's very, very, exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
But I would say it's slightly derivative.
Of what, though?
I would say Tom York.
He
doesn't sound like it, but he follows a lot of the intonations at points. There's a lot of soaring elements in his vocals It's exactly that.
I mean, right? I think I can't think of a better maybe
I'm not. That's not a dig. That's not a dig.
No, I totally. And Radiohead is a band that's going to come up. Like, there's no getting away from it. Gulki are obviously Radiohead mega fans, but that's no bad thing. And that's what I would say. No. Maybe would be that if you're going to pick a vocalist to learn from, I think Thom Yorke. There are far worse choices than Thom Yorke. And
It's the skill of making melody soar without really having to connect.
Yeah.
Consonants and stuff, and just letting it go.
Yeah, and like with a band that has sort of alumni from Gallows and Sixth and kind of Milk Teeth and Nervous, Steve, you know, there's a heavy heritage there in the band, which means that he will go hard in a way that many of the vocalists that he might be drawing inspiration from don't. And that is part of, I think, what makes the mix of Gold Key really special, because on the face of it, it is kind of it's alternative British rock. That is the formula, or that's the mold. But it's the interesting twists and extras that they sort of sprinkle in that make them a special band.
It's a fact that it sounds on the flip side kind of a classic American rock of the Mastodon frame of mind.
Yeah.
Right. Mixed with the British rock. Like it's a very hard. I remember that in the first review. That was a surprise to me that these guys were not American.
Oh, really?
In their soundscape.
Interesting. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think Mechanical World sort of sums it up very well, because I do think that the feeling of that song, not necessarily the melodies or anything, but the feeling of that song sits somewhere between Dakota by the Stereophonics and 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins, and it's like, there you go.
And maybe Mountain Song, Radiohead, or some soaring melody that Radiohead does. Yeah. It's almost, there's a song that probably is exactly that, but it just does it so perfectly. That's what I mean to say. There's so many perfect songs in this.
Yeah.
That I contribute to a band like that to kind of do as well.
And that was a feature of their debut album, Hello Phantom, I think, as well. Yeah. Like, where did that place in your top 20 in the end, or was it just mine?
It's probably close to it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I warmed up to it as much.
Okay.
I think I got to pick out a few songs at the
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it was well up in the business end of mine. Gold Key, if you're listening, you wrote my fourth favorite album of 2017, and I absolutely adore my Dayglow yellow vinyl that I still spin quite regularly. I think it's a brilliant album and this is what Gold Key do so well. They chisel out those little gems of what feel like timeless songs that you've known all your life. And I think it's a really special talent that not many artists have, and they continue to do it here.
Like, let's say Enceladus, for example. Oh my god, that feels like it's been wrapped around my heart for the longest while without knowing.
Mm-hmm. They did a track by track, and I think the main influence on that song was Tears for Fears, which is interesting, because
absolutely Tears for Fears, Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah,
it's just got that mid-tempo rumble that's delightful. And catchy. Very fucking catchy.
Yeah, I love Enceladus. That's a great song. You know, a little bit of U2, which I don't mind as an influence sprinkled
the good
in.
Side.
Yeah. And then maybe that slightly frosty sort of Citizen style. Not quite post-punk, but maybe like sort of post-grunge in the chorus.
There's an Americana side to that. It's kind of there in bits. You kind of see bands that have had supergroups that have had members of Mastodon in them, like was it Giraffe Tongue Orchestra? Is not too far of a reach for this kind of realm of crazy supergroup.
Gone is Gone is the Mastodon side project for me.
Yeah, I think there is a lot to be taken from them that there is in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know quite what it is, but
yeah, I think the companion piece for Enceladus is probably Human. I've had that.
Oh yeah,
like that comes in right from the start. It just goes.
It sounds like
so hard.
Very Year of the Rabbit maybe. It's got that punk drive that Ken Andrews kind of supplies.
That's interesting. That's totally accurate. My takeaway
kind
was
of an outlier. Yeah,
Hot Fuss era Killers. But yeah,
sure. But it's kind of an outlier in the album as well. But in a good way. Okay.
But every song every song is nearly an outlier. Very few songs sound very much like their trackmates as such, which is one thing I like about them.
I can couple a few. I mean, like Don't Sleep is totally a different scenario. That's a totally different spectrum. But I would say like Shallows, Best Luck, Flying to the Sun to an extent. Both share vocal ideas.
I think Fly, you see, the elements of Gokey that I find hardest to warm up to are those weird kind of chromatic riffing sections like on Don't Sleep or Flying to the Sun. I do warm up to them eventually, but there's something
I quite like those parts because it doesn't remind me of the glaring Radiohead that I have in the back of my mind.
Oh, sure. I had Jamie Lenman written down here. Do you think there's a little bit of that there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe early 2000s Brit rock, Your Codename is Milo, Sushi Opero, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Just very interesting way of combining group vocals with the hook of the verse. I guess the verse.
Kind of. That song, particularly Flying to the Sun, is very like sectiony because it kind of does the almost vaguely tech metal, so that which
some of the octave pedal stuff,
the whammy pedal
stuff. Nuts. It's so I love the little pieces that they do, like the album's not like here's guitar effects up the wazoo, they sprinkle them in.
And then towards the end of that song, there's like a Rage Against the Machine kind of bouncy riff. So that one's really varied, which is cool. Also, across the album, there is flecks of that. I don't know whether it's maybe Muse or Radiohead, but you know, that sort of crunched down, processed sort of choir harmony.
Yeah. Musey.
Yeah, quite musey. Yeah. But also maybe exit music for a film. I think A Crack in the Earth, that's definitely the main touch point. He puts his own spin on it, but it's very exit music for a film by Radiohead.
Indeed.
So get away from it.
Yeah.
Also, one thing that totally thankfully I got up early enough to go down a rabbit hole this deep to not delay the recording, but I was absolutely convinced that the picked clean guitar part in Best of Luck reminded me of something, and you'll be very glad to hear I figured out what it was. It's there's a lovely airy picked guitar part at the end of The Master Plan by Oasis, and that is what the Best of Luck reminded me of. So if you like that song, you probably like, and it's a really cool it's a great song too, and it's not a ripoff, it's just more like an homage, and it's awesome.
And I think the only kind of thing I have is like, is this album is this band totally homages to things I've compared it to now, or like, I think when they're at their most unique is when they retain the metal side.
But I think they do that throughout, even maybe more so than on Hello Phantom. I think a lot of these songs go. Like Shallows solo section that comes out of nowhere. Yeah. You like it a lot more than the first one, do you?
Yeah. It's hit for hit almost for me.
Ooh, I don't know yet. What I will say is that every listen...
You just explained why I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, great.
It just keeps going.
Sweet Darkness, too, is like... That last chorus fucking goes. It's definitely a heavier affair. Maybe a slightly less. There's no crab traps. There's no equivalent of crab traps on this, which I think was that. Remember that song?
They're fans of a lot of music.
Clearly,
and they don't really mind touching upon all that in influence.
Yeah,
which it's not for every band.
No. It's definitely a headphone album. That's what I will say. I think Steve Sears is a really, really talented producer, and even more so than on Hello Phantom. I think the production here is one of the stars of the show. It's a joy to listen to from start to finish. And for that reason, I'm really excited to get to know it even better, and potentially maybe it might overtake Hello Phantom. Right now it's I think I still prefer the first one, but it's close.
Sure, yeah. What else? Yeah, no, I wish there was a bit more of the Enceladus vibe to split it up. Yeah. It does do the quiet loud contrast quite well.
Yeah.
It knows when to section it out with the shallows, Enceladus, what have you. Like, it's,
yeah,
that's all there, which a lot of the first album had maybe more of.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all good. I mean, this is, you know, this band is a treat, I think.
Oh, it totally is. It's people love this one. People really love this one.
And they don't, I really want Gold Key to get a bit more recognition too out of all this.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, you know, it's like, and you don't get an accurate portrayal of a band's numbers, I think, just right after an album is released, obviously, because then Spotify takes time to catch up. But their most popular song is Creeping Slowly, the opening track of Hello Phantom, which has like nearly 400,000 plays, which is awesome. But then a track like Human, you know, this album's been out for over 2 weeks and it's still only got 1,600 plays, and I'm like, track on the album. Come on, guys, like, listen to it.
It'll get there. I mean, you know, I'm glad that this album has a lot more of the Kerosene vibe.
Yeah,
I'm glad they went that direction at least. It just sparked that early 2000s rock I love that the other album didn't quite. Even though the other album might be more unique, this one hit a sweet spot.
It certainly does. Yeah. Favorite track?
Favorite track is Enceladus. It is.
Yeah, it's a good song. I mean, I'd probably take I that part take Human. Come on, that riff. You can't fuck with it.
I can't fuck with it. But the album starts off amazingly. Like, the rumble of Sweet Darkness is something.
Yeah, man.
It's how you start an album, right?
That's how you start an album. The Sweet Darkness would probably be a close second, and then Mechanical World maybe coming in third. Although Enceladus maybe, I don't know. They're all good. It's a good album. And it's an album I'm going to give a 9 out of 10 to.
Same, 9.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. There you go. What more can you say? It's great. Panic Machine by Gold Key. Excellent stuff. All right.
Yes.
That's the second Jack Kenny album we've reviewed this year. Third. No.
Oh, my God. Well,
There wasn't a Nervous album this year, but in 12 months, because we reviewed the Nervous album, we reviewed the Milk Teeth album, and now we've reviewed the Gold Key album.
Jesus.
So the dude is everywhere. Slow down, Jack. All right. Yeah, next up.
He needs some money.
Yeah, clearly. No, he's a good guy. All right. Next up, City of Souls with their debut album, Synesthesia, all the way from Auckland, New Zealand. It's been a while since we reviewed a New Zealand band.
I think I skipped on a few. I Am Giant was another one that I really liked that I never got to cover.
Cool.
They were cool. This is a total other kettle of fish, though, because I've been waiting for this for a while, as you know.
Since as I do know.
2015.
Five years of singles.
Oh my God.
That is a long lead up period to an album coming in. And this band, I don't have the list of ashes that this Phoenix is rising from, I guess. But there are at least like five or six bands that all these members used to be a part of, right? So this, like, these guys are not, they're not gumshoes. They're not coming at this fresh, like Greenhorns or whatever.
Clearly they know what they're doing if they come out this.
Yeah, absolutely. But 5 years of singles. I mean, it was a long time coming. But Synesthesia is here, produced by Forrester Savell, who, speaking of sixth members of whom were in Gold Key, he's worked with Sixth, Carnivool, Sky Harbor, and Animals as leaders. So that might put you in the mindset of techie metal, which, you know, that's.
I saw Sky Harbor.
Lives,
they're all
right.
Yeah.
I don't love Sky Harbor, but I do love Animals as Leaders, and I quite like Carnivool as well.
Yeah, they're fun, eccentric weirdness.
Yeah. What genre would you pop City of Souls into?
Fuck. I mean, something close to what... to what I guess started in 2016, kind of when they started this album, which was the direction While She Sleeps went.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good, as an interesting touch point to say, is this album dated because it's been stuck in a kind of a musical frame of mind since 2015 and they've had to keep on that course until now?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not necessarily a bad thing this time. I think there's a lot of surprises in this still.
Yeah. I would, yeah, I mean, just to chime in, I would say, like, it's going to be a mouthful, but maybe atmospheric.
Yes.
Atmospheric progressive metalcore. Maybe. Or gentcore. I don't know. It's basically what North Lane pedal in. I think it's similar to North Lane.
Yeah. But it's also similar to the guy who did the Doom soundtrack, so it's got that techie side of guitar. Like there are also 8-string guitars in this I'm pretty sure.
But weirdly, and like maybe this is just a factor of the week that's in it, but this doesn't go as hard as many of its peers, and for that reason, and maybe also the sort of timbre of Richie Simpson's voice, Gold Key, right? No? Am I wrong? I hear bits of Gold Key in a lot of this.
A bit. Especially the verses. I think this goes a little heavier in a different realm.
Yeah,
it does. Only 7-string guitars can kind of do.
Yeah.
Because that evokes a different style of heavy. But
it's a more like a it's more like a leprous Agent Fresco light heaviness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite pleasant. I'm not gonna lie.
It is quite pleasant.
Even at its heaviest, it soothes the mind.
Yeah, there's only really like maybe one or two sections where it actually gets like Sleep has a pretty heavy middle eight, and then
they're exciting. Whispers at the end bit.
Yeah,
Ferryman.
Yeah.
They've all got those segments. They know when to really knock out.
Yeah,
knock the door down.
Absolutely no, but I think I think it's a really interesting mix for sure, and I'm really glad you brought it in. How did you come across these guys in the first place? Was
God,
it a Spotify discovery?
5 years. maybe a YouTube deep dive. I saw the video for Sleep.
Yeah.
They've all done the videos for those singles way back when, and it's got something that kind of reminds me of Devin Townsend mixed with the roar of Mastodon.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Deftones Townsend.
Yeah. I think there was a song we never got to record, but we practiced. It was the kind of Deftones-y one.
Mm.
Remember the first time I got the 7-string? That was inspired by Sleep.
Oh, sure. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so it's got the
bounce.
It's
only coming out now. That was so long ago.
It's got
ago.
The bounce.
Yeah.
But I love that. Yeah. A lot of these songs have that bounce that I...
Yeah. Yeah, Cruelty, I think, reminds me of Arcane Roots as well, which is no bad thing. I really like Arcane Roots.
No.
Then they have a cover of Love Will Tear Us Apart on this album, which maybe we'll discuss the inclusion of a cover. But that one, weirdly, I felt like had a kind of a Rammstein battering ram energy to it. I don't know whether it's just that riff that da 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 da, but when you play that on really heavy guitars, it just automatically sounds like Noi Deutsche Harte.
It does change it up, right?
Yeah.
The song does fit in different realms, which is the beauty of that.
I would have maybe picked a slightly different Joy Division song. I kind of feel like that song's been covered to death, but it's a cool cover.
I'm not a Joy Division fan.
I'm not a Joy Division fan in the sense of fan meaning fanatic, but I'd like Joy Division. I don't know. Here's the thing about this, right? Because I want to be super super positive, but I have to get this out of the way early.
I understand
it taking 5 years to come out, and I understand the work and the blood and the sweat and the tears that's put into these things, but binging every single song you've ever recorded onto an album is not a great look for a debut, and at 1 hour and 8 minutes, it's just too long. That's my main criticism.
It drops for me at 11. Which is the length of a usual album, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much that it drops at any... Like, there's just basically songs that I think don't really belong. Like, I don't think White Ghost... Well, it's cool, but it's,
I will say it does make sense, because...
Yeah.
For me, you know, you'd say, oh, wait, yeah, this is just the other stuff, because the cover comes in. Then you have Iron Heart, which comes two songs after, which... sounds really good.
Oh man, I that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's about track placement. I don't think it's about sequencing. Indeed. I wouldn't lop the album off at a particular point. I just think that, like, peppered within, I think you've got tracks that are, like, not of the same quality, like White Ghost, Water, Brushstrokes, Take the Cover Away.
And Water's got a nice heaviness to it.
Yeah, I'm not saying these are bad songs, but I'm just saying, like, That would automatically cut the album down to a very reasonable length for an album in this genre. It's one thing to have an album be an hour and 8 minutes when it's like a... what was that band that we really liked? Animal Choir. Her name is Kala, right? Where there's like...
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's different... The album is sort of pockets and it kind of tells a story and there's interludes and songs are very... This is an album of largely 16 quite similar tech metal prog... metalcore bangers that follow a formula, and some of them follow that
they're
formula
all bangers
beautifully.
They're knockouts, yeah. But you need...
They're not all knockouts.
But
a lot of them are, Dil. A lot of them are, and I really like this. I really like this sound. It's like, I want this to succeed. I just think it's just too much of it.
I think I really agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
There's no caveat to that statement.
Yeah.
I really do. But I think I pick out songs from this more than I would listen to at all. I get fatigued. Mm. I get fatigued of this wash of big.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, later it's like on. it's kind of amazing. Ironheart really is good enough to rip me out of that kind of daze that I fall into around the sort of Tying Tongues section of the album, because it's that good. But when you really need more variety to justify an album of this length. But, like, just to give some of the highlights, I mean, you know, Whispers is wonderful. I think Cruelty has this fantastic melody line that almost seems like it's taking from, like, English folk music, even though it's
Ferryman is a hype machine.
Hype machine, 100%.
Boom, the thumb to it.
Yeah, Sleep.
Yeah.
Such a great chorus. Like, this band are just masters of the chorus, you know? It's there's some brilliant stuff around here. And the riffing is largely great. Sometimes it's really unexpected. Like, Shimmer, I think, has this fantastic... Wolf reminds me of some of my favorite synth-led sort of Melodeath, in terms of, like, that really cool bouncy synth-led riff at the start. It's great. And, you know, I keep my eye on the wolf. He's got a great voice. I think he really does a tiny bit of Bowie in his voice at certain points.
I'd say that's the kind of baritone he can rise up with.
Yeah.
You can go a long way with a baritone, right?
For sure. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can. And you know, I'm so on board. I think, weirdly, I don't know if this is like a technical issue, but Whispers does seem to be a much harsher mix than the rest of the album.
I noticed that too.
Yeah, it's almost as if there was like an encoding error. I wonder if you were to pick up the CD or the vinyl, would the issue still be there, or is it just a streaming services problem?
Song is great. I want to hear how big this sounds on a good set of speakers.
Yeah.
It has the potential, in headphones at least, to do that.
Good headphone, really good headphone album. Like I said, you know, excellent production job largely throughout, and the performances are great. People maybe will be feeling, like you said, a little bit jaded with this particular guitar tone. It will turn certain folks off at the door. When I feel like the approach to songwriting, while it's not groundbreaking, you know, they do follow a formula, but the songwriting within that formula is really strong.
Yeah, I'd say at Elements it wipes my ass off the pavement. Like, like, for example, Sleep, Ferryman, Wolf, anything While She Sleeps has done at their best. That's the feeling I get from those songs. And that can go a long way. But there's just so much of it. There's so much of that sound. But then, I had this incident with the last While She Sleeps album. They had so much of that sound too.
Yeah, man, that album was a little too long, huh? Yeah. It was good, but it was a little too long. It's funny as well, because the last track does introduce brand new elements to the sound. Like, that last track, it's the title track, has a real post-rock feel. There's bits of Caspian, instrumental, and Russian Circles, and even maybe that last God Is an Astronaut album, the pretty heavy one.
Yeah.
It's instrumental. It's cool. And I would want, basically put it this way, maybe two more experiments like the title track, pepper them throughout the running order, and cut it down to like 50 minutes. And this is definitely a 9 out of 10.
Oh, dude, I have no doubt this was meant to be out at least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But because of delays, it couldn't be.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt they have another album right around the corner.
Well, man, I can't wait to hear
different stuff, maybe.
Yeah, because this one sounds, as much as I have a lot of fondness for it, and I certainly will be going back to it, maybe in a somewhat truncated form, this does feel a little bit like the slightly, I don't want to say cobbled together, that's too harsh.
But it has been
put together over a very long period of time, and it does show maybe a little bit. So I really would like to hear this band do an album that they kind of write and record over within the span of like 8 months and just put out, you know?
Yeah. And I would say, if I was to do this, I would maybe, like, if I was to do that kind of frantic, different recording session sound, I would do it in the Hayley Williams fashion, which was the EPs. I do it that process.
Yeah,
I'd relegate
that's totally
them to EPs
too.
If I wasn't too sure of a concrete release date or how long it would take me,
mm-hmm.
over 5 years, you know, yeah. I'd probably relegate to the EPs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, however they want to do it. But I just mean, like, if you take a band like Loathe, right? I think this band is capable of writing an album like
I Let It In
and It Took Everything.
Yeah.
Where it's super cohesive and almost sort of conceptual in its formation. Whereas this definitely more feels like a live set of, we're just going to play you kind of 16 start to finish, not connected songs. And that's fine. And that's one way to do an album. But I think the magic of the format sometimes is those albums that are best listened to only start to finish. Mm-hmm. And this isn't really one of those.
Yeah, better to pick and choose from than to flow through. So,
yeah. 100%. But you know what? Especially given from what I understand was a pretty tumultuous recording cycle and release cycle.
That's fine.
I think it's really strong. Like, I love this sound. I'm a real sucker for this sound, and I think it's a great example.
Oh, you know
of it.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was very formative of how I approached big guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's a cool album. I like it.
Yeah. Favorite song and rating?
God, it's hard. There's so many good songs on this. I think I probably at this point would take Sleep, because I think it shows the most variety within one track. Oh man, Sleeping, it's great. Nah, nah, nah. Okay, I'm gonna stop singing. Score out of 10, it would be 8 at this point. 8.
8 at this point, okay.
Yeah.
I would say not Sleep, because that was already my favorite for 5 years. So I gotta choose one of the new ones.
Do it.
It would be Ferryman, but that also came out a bit back.
Mm.
Shit, when did that come out? Ferryman was 2019. Shimmer, Cruel. I would say Wolf. Wolf is
okay,
my favorite.
Cool. Wolf is great. Yeah. Score it a 10.
But like all, an 8 as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
an 8.
Okay. Yeah.
All my favorites are the singles, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a little
of
bit
new
of
new stuff is cool.
It's a little case of like all twins-itis of maybe showing too much of your hand before the album drops.
Oh but yeah.
You know how it is. That's just the way it is. I think
I'm exactly in that form, but I'm not showing my hand. I've only shown one work of progress, as you know.
Right. It's really hard to resist, especially when you don't ever really know when an album's going to come out. So I think it's a really solid effort, and I think that's reflected in our scores. So mm-hmm. Synesthesia, which, fun fact, I my perception lecturer when I studied psychology her specialty was synesthesia, so I know quite a bit about it. It's that you have a light hint of it, right? It's the blending of senses.
Big hint of it.
Yeah,
I have a very big hint of it.
What do you have? Is it color? Color sound? Or?
It's color. It's color sound.
Yeah,
everything has to be related to something of a different form of nature, sight. Yeah, like every album is a color, that kind of thing.
Yeah, some people feel shapes when they hear music. Some people, you know, hear sounds when they see colors. It's basically blending of two senses. It's very cool. It's a very cool effect, and I wish I had it, but I don't. So, it is what it is. All right, next
up.
I'm sure
there's a downside. But yeah.
Although weirdly, the research seems to indicate that there are no downsides, apart from maybe feeling a bit queasy when a word is printed in the wrong color, for example. There are people for whom each sort of word has a specific color.
Fucking
but anyway.
Poop brown with green backdrop shadow.
All right, last album of the week is it's from Gleamer, Colorado band. The name of the album is Down Through, and up until last night I would have said to you with some confidence that this was their third studio album, but Dylan, it is their sixth.
What?
I know. Here's why it always pays to check a band's Bandcamp before you go saying things you don't mean. Corey Kaufman is the puppet master of Gleamer, and for many years this project was just a solo project. He worked on it in his bedroom. He's a producer. He mixes albums, he masters them. He's kind of a do-it-all type guy, and so he actually released I think as many as four albums without a band backing him up.
Goodbyes in the single section, which is kind of an EP.
Yeah, they're not on Spotify, but they are on Bandcamp. You know, I'm actually super excited to check them out. Some of them seem to be concept albums in a way. Like, there's one album that's, you know, the same party told from, you know, six or seven different perspectives or whatever. So that's super interesting. But this is the first time that Gleamer have worked with an outside producer. Corey self-produced everything up to this point. But super producer du jour, Will Yip, has come on board. Will Yip, who you will know from, and I feel like I rattle off the bands that you will know him from every week, but let's do it again. Caspian, Turnover, Turnstile, Quicksand, Perish, Super Heaven, Balance and Composure, Citizen, Code Orange, and
Code
the Menzingers.
Orange,
Code
Orange
recently.
Was the one that really kind of, probably 36 degrees removed from this.
But mostly Will Yip is known for these kind of washes of dreamy, nostalgic 90s alternative rock, and that is where this album sort of sits, I think. Production is incredible, needless to say. He's a wonderful producer. This is another slab of dreamy sort of noise pop dream alternative emo flecked.
Yes.
Loveliness, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess it's lovely.
Yeah, I mean it is. I mean by its very nature it's lovely.
But it's not as lovely as it could be.
No, I think maybe it suffers from being too lovely. Dare I say.
I think it's cause of the direction it stays for a lot of it, which is always feigning away from fully giving it socks, even fully giving Quiet Stuff socks, which they've done before. They've the last two albums were fairly varied, different sonics, and they had a lot of the quiet loud effect down, like fucking Gauze Lily Lily especially. The real combination of guitar melody hooks, but still keeping the traditional Gleamer sound.
Basketball Casino. I think maybe Cooler Part 2 would be another one. I actually did Any More. Their last album came up on Brad Thorne's Twitter album Isolation Club. Isolation Album Club, I should say. So it was nice actually to get a little bit of a primer on that record, and I really do kind of love that record. I think it's really good. It's something to pick up on what you were saying there. I do think that this album, much more so than their earlier work, is very chord based. The leads, when they do come in, are great, like on tracks like Casino. Towards the end of the title track, the last track as well. But I think those leads and maybe the slightly grittier approach to songwriting, which we do hear bits of on Leadings On, for example, but this pushes them further away from the camp, I would say, that contains bands like Teenage Wrist or Citizen or Basement or Nothing. I think this is definitely closer towards sort of a balance and composure and Turnstile, which is, it's a harder line, not Turnstile, Turnover. Turnstile are quite heavy. Turnover are very, very blissed out. I just think it's a trickier line to walk. They're harder song types to really hit a home run with. You know?
I do.
Or even Howdy. There's bits of Howdy on this.
Howdy.
And you know how much I enjoyed that Howdy album.
I know. But this is not that, though. Howdy gives this sound more socks. Like, it seems he isn't going far enough with his vocals, which I know he can.
Yeah.
He definitely can. It just seems very self-restrained as a whole.
Yeah, it's laid back. It is what it is. Like, the album, I think it's quite well summed up by the cover. You know, it's sort of light gently dappling through the trees in the early evening, that kind of way. It's like, yeah, that's what this is. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I would be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the sound. I just don't think that this album is maybe the best of Gleamer. It's the worst thing I've heard from a band that I'm really, really fond of and a sound that I really, really like. So I'm kind of a sucker for this, even though I do agree with you in that I think it might take its foot off the gas a little bit too much.
I would say all the way.
Fair.
Well, it's just, you need to keep a bit of what made you unique. Yeah. This has not that.
I would probably enjoy Will Yip producing a ham sandwich, to be honest with you.
Production sounds fine.
Yeah.
I would say the leads he had to making this sound were not maybe the best, but it's engineered great there. That's it.
It is.
The engineering is good.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, that's what you're going to get. It's dreamy washes of lightly distorted chords in the sort of shoegaze 90s alternative space, with a very lackadaisical vocal on top. You know, that is a recipe for success for me, but it's not for everybody. So
a disaster, because I wish I knew what I wish I could like grasp onto anything he's saying. Yeah. It's very non-discernible. I can't really.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bands that have that.
I'm glad I brought this in because I really like Gleamer, but at the same time I do feel like it's maybe slightly unfair on you, because I know your tolerance for this type of stuff is quite low, and I do try, when I do bring this stuff in, I do try and
my tolerance for Howdy is not.
That's what I'm saying. I do think it was there was a moment yesterday where I kind of went, Dad, this isn't even the best Gleamer album. Like, maybe I shouldn't have put it in front of Dill, because, you know, it'd be like, to take an example, it would be like you kind of going, here is, you know, another sort of J-rock band, but not their best work. Like, I mean, I'm here to listen to anything, and I'm here to appreciate what I can, but...
Sorry,
you know, my tolerance level for that stuff is a little lower. I could still really like it, but my tolerance level for it is a little lower. So, I do think in retrospect, maybe this isn't their best work, but I still agree on this for once.
I think we both
agree, but we're going to... I know we're going to score this very differently, but yes, on principle, I definitely agree with you. I think this is a bit...
Yes.
It's a bit too... obscure for most people.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I enjoyed from it. Casino. I like Casino. That was a good dynamic. It just got a good loud, quiet dynamic. Again, it's probably a great example of that, right?
Absolutely. I think the acoustic guitar on TTX is really lovely as well. And I like when they take it right down to barely a simmer on Worth. You know, it's kind of nice to hear that when they're not maybe turning it up to 11, at least taking it down to one works very nicely. So, yeah, and it's nice.
Yeah.
It brings me to an emotional place that I enjoy, you know, this type of music.
I mean, the other album does it better.
Yeah,
the other albums do it better.
That is true.
I can go to them because you know, same template but better.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm interested to hear what those lost Bandcamp albums sound like too. I might check them out.
Absolutely.
I have a couple of Bandcampy things now. I've got the Isolation content EP from Little Green Cars to check out and listen to this as well.
The Novembers released their album on Bandcamp first.
Oh, nice. Oh, very good. Everything. Yeah.
It's out today to purchase.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. Cool. You might be hearing about that next time. But yeah, I don't think we've got too much more to say about this. I might kick off with the favorite song and score, if that's all right.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll take the title track down through, and it is a 7 out of 10 for me.
Ooh, Jesus. I'd say Casino for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gave me memories of what they were, and hopefully we'll go back to.
Oh yeah, these guys are going to be around for a while.
Because I love the lead guitar and stuff like Lily. It's so, it's the thing. And this album doesn't have the thing.
Mm.
Because I know they still got it.
Mm.
Yeah, Casino for me. Giving this a 4.
Yeah, I had a feeling it was going to be a 4.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. Yeah,
but it sounds good. Like, I worked to this yesterday. It just coasted by. So I can give it that.
No hard feelings. That's I kind of knew that was coming, so that's all right. Is Down Through, the new album from Gleamer. Probably good album for sort of 3 a.m. if you can't sleep. It's got that nighttime hazy kind of energy to it. So all right, that is right. It for this week. Like I said, a very interesting crop of albums and some interesting discussions. So thank you for joining me, Dil.
It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. We will be back in your ears very soon. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Spotify. You can also find our playlist that we will be kind of keeping updated with what we're covering as we sort of decide what to cover. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and, you know, if you have any requests or any comments or anything at all, do send it through. But until next time, mind yourself, stay inside, avoid the pandemic.
Yeah. And take it easy. Enjoy the many live gigs online and stuff.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Bye.